You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Hello, Eastern Iowa. Welcome in and beyond to the Eakin Nutrition Studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It is a Gym Class for a rainy, cloudy Thursday here in Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Andrew on the other side of the glass, our producer here today. Got a good show for you. The offensive and defensive coordinators for the Iowa football team, they are meeting the media down in Iowa City, and we'll let you know at least what Tim Lester had to say. He started off at 2:30, and as I approach the studios here at 3 o'clock, still addressing the media. And then Phil Parker will join the dais, and he will talk about the Iowa defense. So we'll talk about what Tim Lester had to say. We'll take a look at the latest coming and going as far as the portal for both men's and women's basketball is concerned. And some interesting things coming out of the portal here today and all the latest as far as that is concerned. And we will have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up, not only of the night, but of the season. The 2023-2024 campaign is in the books. We'll let you know how it came out. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. Like to pick up the phone and say hi to Andrew. That is also 319-366-1600 here on a Thursday as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 ESPN as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Did I wake you? Did I startle you?
No. I was listening. I was just also watching something.
Soccer?
No, okay. Not soccer. I mean, if I was to watch anything, that would probably be what I'd be watching, but no, I'm not at the moment.
Isaac watches soccer.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
He does. He gets a little demonstrative at times when his team loses, so.
I mean, that's only to be expected. Like, anybody whose team loses, like, I've seen rage videos of them punching their own TV screen. Like, that's a bit excessive at the same point, but
and gets a little bit expensive.
Yeah.
Excessive and expensive. Mm-hmm. Don't do that, folks. It's just a game out there. Mark Dukes from the back porch in the southwest side. Happy Thursday to you.
Good afternoon, Scott and Andrew and everyone out there. And Andrew, if you haven't already, look up the story about why the Eagles and or the Packers, two of three teams that were green, may not be able to do so when they meet in Brazil next year.
Oh, yeah, I was here when you were talking about that.
Yes, but there's a twist.
Oh, there's another twist.
There is another twist. And we were going to talk about this, Mark, as well as Jason Kelce's dilemma. Got to mention that a little bit on the show here today that he let out of the bag on the Kelce Brothers podcast. Since you brought it up, Mark, the NFL is facing a dilemma, it looks like, because the league is going to have a game in Brazil this year, and it's already been leaked. It is going to be the Green Bay Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles. And of course, as you mentioned, both those teams were predominantly green, and they are going to play the first regular season game in Brazil this September. But the stadium, Mark, that they are playing is Corinthians Arena, and that is home to the Brazilian soccer team, the Corinthians. I don't know anything about Brazilian soccer. Maybe we'll ask Isaac about this coming up tomorrow, but apparently their biggest rival is, and I'm going to butcher the name, so I'm not even going to say it, begins with a P, and they wear green. So there is a ban on the color green, and they take this thing apparently very seriously in this stadium. They have signage
that said their fans are not allowed to wear the color green. They had a player a couple of years ago who was fined by the club because he wore green cleats. And the Eagles and the Packers both have green jerseys. What's going to happen, Mark?
We're probably not going to know until closer to that game, but you know, the Eagles in the past have worn a black alternate uniform, but you know, maybe a black helmet. Maybe let's just go black and white.
But they can't wear the alternate helmet until next year, according to NFL rules. Matt Fairfax also agrees with you. The Eagles have black alternate uniforms. They do. There's still a little green in them, number one. Number two is it's not until next season that the NFL is going to allow alternate helmets to be worn by teams. So somebody's going to have to wear a green in this thing. Now,
this is why the NFL should not be playing in Brazil.
Thank you.
In the interest of international diplomacy, come on.
I was just going to say, hey, didn't we check this out? Okay, you know, the NFL, all of their board, whoever is in charge of this, you know, first question is, okay, are there any intricacies to this Brazilian experience that we are going to have to deal with? And, you know, oh, yeah, you can't wear green. So what does the NFL do? They decide to have their two of their three green color teams go to Brazil. I mean, to me, that is a problem that could have been easily solved. And come on, it's not a soccer match. It's a football game. I know football is called. We're not getting into that. We're not getting into that. It's just, come on, let's get just for a day. Let them wear green. Get over this.
I mean, looking at their uniforms, like the Eagles, it is a green, but it's not exactly green like the Corinthians' arch nemesis is.
Okay, so like, it's a different, but they didn't say okay.
Right.
It's this green, this shade of green.
Right.
It's green.
Anything green, which depending on like color blindness or not, some people could look at the Eagles and be like, no, that's blue and not green.
Right.
So they may let it slide and the Eagles may be able to just barely get by while Green Bay has to wear their white ones. But it's technicalities.
Aren't we the guests of the of this?
I think we are.
Of Brazil. Let's look the other way here for a moment, and just something's going to have to give. This is a great story. Not as good as the Kelce story. We will get to that coming up. Forget Brazil. Play at Kinnick, says 1477. I like that. Eagles alternate is a very dark green. Well, okay. Green is forbidden in this place, Mark. Can't wear green.
Dark green, light green, lime green.
Somebody's wearing green in this game.
Pale green, I don't know. Is this the only stadium in Sao Paulo? The Corinthians Stadium? Move it to another venue. They're going to be that way about
it. They don't want it? You're right. Let's move it to another spot. 319-366-1600. Can't they make an exception for real football versus their kickball? Says 2540. Oh, it's a good thing Isaac isn't here. It's a good thing Isaac isn't here. What color is the grass? Says 6516. I assume it's green. Hey, I don't know. Yeah, the Eagles could wear their 1933 throwback blue and yellow uniforms. Says 6015. And yes, the Brazilian flag is green. It has it's mainly green with a little yellow and the planet in the middle, blue and white. So there's a lot of stuff. We got a lot of stuff going around. And hey, there'll probably be an entire committee that will get put together to try to solve this Brazilian football crisis that we have going on right now. 319-366-1600. Here on the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. No, Cajun Troy sending us a picture of her grandson wearing a Green Bay Packer jersey. That is not allowed, apparently, in Corinthians Stadium in Sao Paulo, Brazil. All right. Have we spent enough on this green gate here?
I got one more
thing. Okay, one more, Andrew.
So the Americans that are going to travel to Brazil to go see this game,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to be able to wear their favorite sports jersey to the game.
Apparently not.
Like, I just realized that as you were about to end this, and I'm like, what do they expect people to do? Like, there are going to be Americans that show up to this that don't know about it, and they're probably going to get booed or told no because they don't know about the stipulation.
That's an excellent point, Andrew.
I'm sorry, you can't go to the stadium.
Exactly.
Wait a minute, I spent $20,000 to get here.
Yeah, and I can't get in?
Take off your Packer jersey. How dare you wear that? Or Eagles. I'm not going to pick on the Packers. Could be the Eagles as well. Brazil is green with envy. Thank you, 3702, for that. Appreciate that. And 8186, have a great time this weekend down at Talladega. That's the NASCAR stop this week. 319-366-1600. Mark, let's get to football closer to home. And the Iowa Hawkeye offensive and defensive coordinators meeting with the media. Tim Lester started off his talk at 2:30, and when I left for the studio here down the hallway, was still talking with the media. I would imagine that Phil Parker is up to the dais now, but I don't want to assume anything at this point. But Tim Lester said all the right things, the usual things that you hear from an offensive coordinator as far as the spring is concerned, and I think he said some things we wanted to hear and said some things that were a little bit vague, if you will, still, as far as the new-look Iowa offense is concerned.
Yeah, Phil Parker, defensive coordinator, has concluded his remarks, and LeVar Woods is on the podium now. But as far as Lester goes in the offense, Lester said that 80 to 85% of the playbook has been installed, and they're working to perfect that right now. And I had some interesting observations with Cade McNamara being out, still rehabbing from injury, saying that Deacon Hill getting most of the number one reps with the offense because of his experience. Marco Leonez right behind him working with the twos and threes. Praise for Caleb Brown, the wide receiver, who presumably will be the number one target in this offense. But as far as Phil Parker goes, he understandably really likes his defense. He went out of his way to praise Aaron Graves, and Max Llewellyn is making tremendous progress this spring, and pointed out that Ethan Herkett, the former Xavier prep, his attitude and production has really impressed Parker as well.
Yeah, you talked about the wide receivers, and as you mentioned, first and foremost, Caleb Brown, but also mentioned guys that are having a good spring so far, Jarrett Bowie, the redshirt freshman from down in Florida, and Caden Weechen, the former Williamsburg Raider via Iowa Western. Saw him mainly with jet sweeps, couple of catches, did a lot of things as far as specialty teams are concerned. And with the departure of Bostic, I think you're going to see Weechen step up a little bit more as far as the wide receiver core is concerned.
So certainly showed some skills as a returner, mainly on kickoffs, I think, but and a little bit on punts. But guys got a lot of speed. And I think Lester said he liked his young receivers as well. Whether they'll be able to step in and contribute remains to be seen. Lester did say that Iowa is still looking at the transfer portal And if it finds someone that fits, they'll pull the trigger. Right now, there's a scholarship issue with the Iowa football team. They're either at or just above the scholarship limit.
Yeah, very true. But there are ways around that, as we know, when you deal with the portal. And they will take advantage of that if they get the opportunity to do so. And yeah, said that a lot of reps going on, a lot of team things they're taking a look at. They're moving guys on the offensive line around. No Dunker, no Jones right now. Just putting guys in different situations, putting them in different spots as far as the offensive line is concerned, just taking a look at what all of them can do, what all 11 positions can do as far as the offense is concerned. And talked about having a veteran running back room as well as a pretty veteran tight end room and offensive line room. And then also, as you mentioned, very young wide receivers for this Iowa football team, and trying to put that all together. A very interesting dynamic is, I believe, the term that Tim Lester used. And talked about as well, Mark, the RPOs, what the defensive guys have had to say about the offense. A lot more eye candy movement as far as taking a look at the Iowa offense this year. I think people are going to look forward to that as far as not only maybe a little bit this Saturday is concerned, although I don't think they're going to show a whole lot, but especially as you get to opening day against Illinois State.
Well, I think come Saturday in the open practice, weather permitting, if 85% of the playbook is installed, I have to believe that 5% or less will be shown. It's going to be very plain, I think. Why show it? Who knows who's in the stands?
Harbaugh's not a Michigan. I'm sorry, Matt, the Michigan fan. I had to do that.
Yeah. And LeVar Woods, special teams coordinator, keeping with the theme of the show, said new punter Reese Dockin is very talented, but he's also young and green.
You had to throw that in there. Had to throw that in there.
He said it. I just repeated it.
319-366-1600. Yeah, Phil Parker, two-thirds of the news conference today was for Tim Lester. I think Phil Parker's to the point now, Mark, where it's just, okay, here's my defense. Yep, they're really good. And what do you need to know? Okay, let's get this done. Let's move on.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about the linebackers because, I mean, the nation's leading tackler back and so much experience there. Guys taking advantage of the extra year available. Nick Jackson, that's going to be loaded. The defense is going to be very, very strong again without Cooper DeJean and a couple others. Joe Evans, whether it'll be as good as last year, I don't know, but I think it's going to be damn good.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see that. And the defense is going to be stout, at least on paper, anyway. And that linebacking core has got a couple of guys that are going to lead the linebacking core. That's certainly the case when you talk about Jay Higgins. And you talk about Kyler Fisher coming back and others, but going to be interesting to see who that second group is, Mark. Is it going to be, is it going to be somebody in there like a Ben Keeter? Is he going to see the field on the defensive side? Jaden Harrell, the junior out of Urbandale, very good player. Saw a little bit of time last year. Aiden Hall as well, redshirt freshman out of Harlan. Going to be interesting to see how much playing time all these guys are going to get.
Depth always important in football, and I think even more so crucial on the offensive side of the ball. But I think Iowa has some very good depth on the defensive side of things, and a lot of the guys we just haven't seen too much of, but very talented.
319-366-1600 at 325. There is a lot to talk about. With the transfer portal, it is a day that ends with a Y, so there's a lot of transfer portal news, and we're going to get to that coming up in a little bit. We'll also get to that interesting story about Jason Kelce and a Bowling Night in America wrap-up. for you. Right now, though, want to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update as we hit 325. It's brought to you by the good folks at Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. Their entire menu is available for you at emilshideaway.com. They got burgers. They got fries. They are made fresh daily, plus salads, pizza, pasta, and soup. And great sandwiches as well. All that at Emil's Hideaway. And what do we have today, Mark?
The Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union has named Aaron Gerlich as its new executive director. Gerlich has been with the IGHSU for around 15 years. She replaces Jean Berger. Gerlich is credited with being instrumental in the development of girls wrestling in Iowa. Speaking of wrestling, Hall of Famer Brad Smith is out of retirement, albeit only for a year. He will serve as interim wrestling coach at Clear Creek Amana this coming year. Clear Creek Amana's coach Kyle Fornes will enter a one-year tour of duty in the Army Reserves. Fornes was an assistant at Iowa City High when Brad Smith was the head coach. Also in Major League Baseball today, Cedar Rapidian A.J. Puck is scheduled to start for the Miami Marlins tonight at the Cubs. Puck has struggled in his first year as a starter, 0-3 with some wildness. Not finally, because we're going to get to that in our portal talk.
Is that a Big Ten player, Mark?
Is what a Big Ten player?
That we'll get to.
Big Ten, Big 12.
Got a lot
Iowa
of them.
State.
Got a lot of them. Yeah, Aaron Gerlich, real good selection, I think, from the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union. And very well thought of. I think is going to be someone that's going to be around a while, a native of Panora, Iowa. Panorama. She was the AD there for a while, and very highly thought of. They had a very good candidate pool. Reading up on that and knowing a little bit about it, there were some heavy hitters in there that people know. I'm not going to name names, but there were some heavy hitters in there, and I think she's going to do a good job, and I think she's going to be around a while. This is going to be probably, unless another job comes along down the line, I think Aaron's probably going to be someone that's going to be there for at least a decade, and pick up and move ahead of what Gene Berger has done. And Gene has been terrific with the girls' union.
Yeah, I don't know too much about Gerlich other than her involvement in girls' wrestling, but I know she's been involved in other aspects of the state or girls' union. Has some big shoes to fill, but the union believes this is the person to do so.
Big pink shoes to fill, too, by the way.
Apparently, yeah.
319.
No green at the union.
No green at the union. It's pink. They got customary pink shoes and the pink accoutrement, as they wear throughout the state tournaments. 329, we're going to take a break and come back, and we'll talk the latest as far as the transfer portal is concerned as the portal turns when we come back here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here at 1600 ESPN, Eastern Iowa's home for sports.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And rain will gradually move out this afternoon and the clouds will start to clear. Temperatures will remain around 50 degrees today, and then tonight, with clear skies, will drop down into the low 30s. Some areas of frost will be possible by morning. Tomorrow will be sunny and temperatures will be in the mid-50s. We'll have sunshine through the weekend with highs in the 50s and lows in the 30s with a chance for frost or freezing temperatures each night. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
You ever have one of those days when you just couldn't come up with the right answer? Well, I know one answer that pretty much solves all problems. Ice cream. Yeah, it's the answer to everything, right? And right now, at Quickstar, Our rich, creamy, straight from our dairy, Nature's Touch 1 gallon pails of ice cream are just $4.99. Yeah, now that's an answer worth digging into. Come on, be a problem solver. Bring home some fresh, delicious Nature's Touch ice cream, only from Quickstar.
I'm a waitress, so I know the difference between regular shoes and Skechers slip-resistant work shoes. Skechers slip-resistant work shoes make my job go like this. Here's your pasta primavera.
Thanks.
While regular shoes make my job go like this. Here's your pasta prima... Whoa! Yeah. And that difference is why I wear Skechers slip-resistant work shoes. They've got serious traction to keep me on my feet. Plus, they're easy to clean and have Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam for comfort throughout my shift. They come in classic, wide, and relaxed fits, as well as a variety of fashionable styles, including athletic looks, so I don't have to sacrifice style for safety. In fact, my Skechers slip-resistant work shoes look so good, I often wear them when I'm not working. Hey, slips can happen at any time, so even if I'm not at work, my Skechers work shoes are putting in overtime. Get America's number one selling work shoe at Skechers.com, a Skechers store near you, or wherever work shoes are sold.
The NTT IndyCar Series returns to the streets of Long Beach. Contact with Pettitino. That shuffles Joseph Newgarden in front.
It is a traffic jam as everybody tries to make it through cleanly.
Boy, they are slipping and sliding left and right, and Pato O'Ward spins right in turn number 8.
Here comes Kyle Kirkwood to the checkered flag for the final time.
Listen to the Acura Grand Prix of Long Beach live this Sunday.
Sunday afternoon at 2 on 1600 ESPN.
3:31, we are back with you on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Should let you know that coming up tomorrow on a Friday edition of the show, we'll talk a lot about the spring football. You got UNI's spring game tomorrow evening. They're going to have it on a Friday, I think a really good idea, up at the Uni Dome. And then on Saturday, it'll be both Iowa and Iowa State with their spring football get-together. So the crescendo of the spring football campaign is upon us starting in the next 24 to 28 hours with UNI, Iowa, and Iowa State. 319-366-1600. Mark, more portal news today. And this thing is, listen, it's been crazy for as long as it has been around. And with the legislation coming out, apparently finalized with the NCAA, that all you need to do is be in good academic standing and you could have a different home for 4 or 5 years, depending on how long your college eligibility holds out. As long as that is the case, the term mercenaries is out there right now being used by people that cover college men's basketball. And I think it's starting to invade college women's basketball. And as you heard at the top of the hour from ESPN on their Sports Center, Gino Auriemma talking today, they asked him if it was a good thing for a possibility of one and dones now for women's college basketball, and gave a very blatant no on that. I would agree. Women's basketball, where it is on the rise as it is right now, a lot of that has to do with the fact you know where these players are playing, and they don't change quite as often as the men, but even that is starting to change. And if you don't think it's local, then you're not looking 20 miles to the south, Mark, right?
No, that's correct. And I think there's an uptick in transfer portal activity among women's basketball players. Certainly not as much as the men, who had, what, 1,500 to 2,000 players into the portal, but Iowa landed it believes and its fans believe to be a terrific get in Lucy Olson, moving to Iowa from Villanova. She has 1 year of eligibility. Well documented, she was third in the NCAA in scoring average last year, and Villanova was just okay last year. That made it to the finals of the WBIT tournament and lost to Illinois. And in that game, Lucy Olson had 22 points. But to me, yeah, I think it's a really good get. Iowa's going to be heavily guard-oriented, as it was already. And Let's face it, this is a one-year eligibility. It's a one-year situation, but maybe a really good one.
It's a one-year stopgap until Miss Deal comes in from California.
Perhaps.
I envision that. And if, unless you are driving out there, and if you are an Iowa women's basketball fan, raise your right hand. Again, if you are not driving, raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I do not expect this young lady to be the next Caitlin Clark. And there are people already out there. Oh, she's going to be the going to pick up where Caitlin Clark was. That's Iowa's new. Listen, there's one Caitlin Clark. If she can do even half as much as what Caitlin Clark did, I think Iowa basketball fans, Mark, are going to be ecstatic.
I don't think many, if any, could replace Clark, and that's unrealistic expectations. Not only Clark's scoring average, which is about 6 or 7 points higher than what Olsen's was last year, but the passing ability, that's going to be tough to replace as well. And the experience, the swagger, and whatnot. Olsen, apparently a very fine player, very fine scorer. But, yeah, I don't think anybody should expect her to be the next Caitlin Clark.
This is going to be, as we talked about after the championship game against South Carolina, it's going to be a much different looking Iowa team next year. Going to do things differently. I think the hope is Hannah Stolke can move from the 5 spot to a 4 spot. She can play the 5 if needed, and I think you are going to see her play some 5, but I think Iowa would rather have her a little bit more in the open court. We will see. But certainly Olsen and Folter, Fairbach, others coming off the bench, that's going to be a very formidable guard court. We'll see what Callie Levine can help with, the freshman-to-be from Solon, Miss Iowa basketball. And like I said, can't have too many guards, right?
No, but Iowa is going to have to play better on the inside. It does have a freshman coming in, 6'4 player named Ava Hayden. You don't know whether a freshman is going to be able to step in and contribute like an Audie Crooks did at Iowa State. That may be pretty unreasonable, but Iowa's got a couple posts that, you know, their scoring has been very limited. It's been Stolke having to go into that 5 position and contribute. If Hayden can give him a little punch on that offensive end, if not the defensive end, that would be a big help.
Yeah, 86-99 on the text lines. Weighing in with good guard play is always exciting. If they are competitive next year, then mission accomplished. Yeah, I think they're going to be more than competitive. Women's basketball in this state, holy cow. Is it going to be on the level of it was as it was this year? I don't think so, because you're not going to have Caitlin Clark around pushing Iowa to 2 consecutive Final Fours. They get to another Final Four. That's going to be amazing. Iowa State next year, going to be dynamite. With what they have coming back and Emily Ryan coming back to lead that group, what Drake has done, what Tanya Warren and you and I, what they have accomplished, those two teams in the Mo Valley. Women's basketball is going to be very, very good again next year here in the state. As far as the men, Mark, and the NIL, well, I should say in the portal today, not necessarily NIL, but they go hand in hand because A.J. Storr, we got a lot of Wisconsin news today for our friend Greg in Epworth. You've got, for the Badgers, former Badger A.J. Storr is now at his 7th spot in the last 7 years as he has apparently accepted a 7-figure NIL deal to play for Bill Self and the Kansas Jayhawks. I hope you got your licks in to the Kansas Jayhawks this past year, Big 12 and around the country, because of what they could put out next year. A.J. Storr, Zeke Mayo coming from South Dakota State, DeJuan Harris, and if they get the NCAA to grant another year to K.J. Adams and Hunter Dickinson, that may be your number one team in the country.
Well, it may be. AJ Storr, one of the top targets in the portal, 6'7", can do a lot of things, only going to help Kansas. And, yeah, this a well-traveled individual, two high schools, two prep schools, and now his third college. I mean, this guy doesn't have anywhere to hang. Is he a Badger? Is he a Jayhawk? I don't know.
True. I don't know where what he calls home at this time. The guy lives out of a suitcase, apparently. But he made it very known he was going to take seven figures. And he apparently landed that with Bill Self. Bill Self let it be known during the Big 12 tournament and the NCAA tournament. He was already looking at 2024-2025, which if you were a present-day Kansas Jayhawk, probably didn't sit too well, but he knew with the injuries, Kansas wasn't going to get past the second round, and they didn't get past the second round.
Yeah, I mean, why not? It's pay for play until something's done by the NCAA or another organization. It's, as Kevin Lehman has said many times, it's the wild, wild west, and until something is done to level the playing field, it's going to be, well, my checkbook's bigger than yours. And that leads to, you know, an unlevel playing field, as I said. We have to live with that right now. You know, boosters are more pressure on boosters. I mean, look at Iowa. Do you want to contribute to the Iowa baseball stadium renovation, or do you want to contribute to the NIL and get a good center to go with Owen Freeman? I mean, that's what it is.
319-366-1600. Yes, Cajun Troy, he's a Rolling Stone at this point. Couple of comments as far as the Iowa women are concerned. Don't look past Addie O'Grady. She came on at the end of this year. She could surprise people with one more year with Jan Jensen, says Rick. Our friend Corey says Taylor McCabe can shoot as well. So I would agree with that. 9663 also saying that he read that AJ Storr's girlfriend is at Kansas as well. Well, that doesn't hurt if that's the case, but also doesn't hurt they rolled out $7 million. And you talk about benefactors, Mark. Kansas has them. Arkansas has Jerry Jones. You want to know how Arkansas got Coach Cal? Did not hurt when he found out that they have a better NIL situation than Kentucky does. Think about that for a moment. Between Jerry Jones, the Walmart people, and the Tyson Foods people at Arkansas. And they want to win. And I think Musselman knew that and kind of got out after a so-so year for the Arkansas Razorbacks. And now he's at USC. Everyone's moving around. It's basically musical chairs at this point. But crazy stuff. 3702, does the NCAA care at all about mid-majors? Unlimited transfers are only going to make things worse for mid-majors. Well, I would agree. But then every time somebody makes that argument, people come back with, well, the mid-majors are getting guys too. Look at Indiana State and what they did with their roster this past year. I think, Mark, that was more of an outlier. I think Indiana State had some good players and developed them, had a good coach. I think everything came together. But you're going to have those stories each year, but it's only going to be a one-year deal because in this new day and age of the transfer portal and NIL, none of these teams, like Indiana State, are ever going to stay together for more than a year.
Yeah, in the Indiana State situation, I think you'd agree, had more to do with Josh Schertz, the head coach, moving to St. Louis University. I think that had as much, if not more, a lot more than NIL played into it. But NIL, I mean, it's everywhere. We've talked with Mark Ironside on wrestling. He gave a great description on one of our programs this winter about Penn State having why can't anybody beat Penn State? And Ironside went into a lengthy explanation about when Cale Sanderson arrived, there was this businessman in that part of the country who loved Penn State, had piles and piles and piles of money to not only bring in recruits, but transfers and actually graduates who, you know, work in the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club or whatever it's called. You know, while Cale Sanderson's a great wrestling coach, he's got a tremendous benefit out there, and you're seeing it in basketball and football as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that Pennsylvania is also a hotbed of prep wrestling. Doesn't hurt it one bit. Does not hurt it. 86-99, mid-majors have become farm teams. I can't argue. I really can't argue with that. You're going to hit upon, and then what makes it so cruel is the fact that when you do get a team that wins 30 games in a mid-major conference, yes, I'm looking at Indiana State, they get left out of the NCAA tournament. Now, there was some interesting circumstances that kept the Sycamores out this year, but it would have been interesting to see if they would have made the field if there weren't so many upsets in the conference tournaments, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the texter that says, you know, this is the mid-majors are a farm system, at least in basketball, but other major colleges are getting hurt as well. Look at the Lucy Olsen situation. Nova loses an experienced high-scoring player and goes to Iowa. As a texter pointed out, Jacob Bostic, the former Iowa wide receiver, is getting interest from Iowa State and Vanderbilt. And Chucky Hepburn at Wisconsin in the portal. I mean, it's not only the mid-majors, it's, you know, the majors that are getting hurt as well. Well, you know, I'm not entirely satisfied here. I've done everything I can to do at this school. You know, I'm going to move on, whether it's your second school or seventh. I don't know.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. And Cyclone Tim's got a very good point as well. Makes for an uneven playing field with the NIL pay for play for some schools. But no one is batting an eye at the Big Ten and the SEC becoming a Big Two. Well, Tis true. More money coming in. We went from a, what, four-team college football playoff, and we're going to get 1 year of, what, a 12-team college football playoff before it goes to a 14-team college football playoff before, yes, folks, it's going to be a 16-team college football playoff before long. Give it a couple of years down the road because money, 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 money. There's a chance to make more of it. And the TV contracts keep going up. Schools keep getting paid more. Well, most schools, Power Five schools, keep getting paid more. That's not the case for the 1AA football schools for the most part. 319-366-1600. And yeah, 85-82, if you or anyone else can come up with a fix for all of this, please let us know. We'll get you in touch with the NCAA. Everyone agrees the system is broken, but no one knows how to fix it. I don't even know, Mark, if you can fix it now. I don't know if you can because the horse is out of the barn at this point. How do you stuff everything back in to the bottle now that we've had all of this rampant movement, money, et cetera, et cetera, happening?
You could somehow, depending on the sport, establish limits and guidelines. But in this day and age, that probably would just lead to a court fight.
And it would. It would. 319-366-1600. So we're talking about NIL at this time and the transfer portal. And you mentioned the latest man, last one out of Madison. Please close the door and turn off the lights. Chucky Hepburn, the native of Nebraska, by the way, leaving Wisconsin. And six or seven Badgers have now left Greg Gard's program since the end of the year.
Yeah, and that's not a mid-major program.
No, it's not. It's not. And Hepburn, does he go home to Fred Hoiberg in Nebraska to play for the Big Red? I don't know. But you got to think that's one of the possibilities, right?
It'd be a logical connection, no question about it. But, why are these guys leaving? I mean, I know A.J. Storr is on record of wanting a lot of money, and it's $700,000, not $7 million, right? He can't possibly be getting $7 million. But, why is Hepburn leaving after spending all this time? I don't understand.
Now, I'm not sure. Could go to Creighton, says 3034. Could end up at Creighton. More people could end up at Creighton. Remains to be seen how that all plays out. Maybe to limit the amount of times a kid can transfer without special circumstances, coach leaving, etc., says 8582. Well, that went by the boards today. Recently, anyway, Mark, when the NCAA came out with that, the legislation that you can transfer as many times as you like and not sit out as long as you're academically okay to do so.
Yeah, as long as you're in good academic standing, don't let the door hit you in the you-know-what. That's what the NCAA said. It's got to be approved next week. I don't know. It's almost exhausting talking about it. You go down the list. But it is topical. There's no question about it. You go down Haley Van Lith of LSU, the point guard. She's leaving, going to TCU. Maybe she's had enough of the head coach. I don't know. Maybe that team is depleted enough. But each player and situation has a backstory and a motivation. I don't think any one of them are necessarily the same, except for maybe money.
Could be. I don't know. 319-366-1600. By the way, speaking of money, the Cavender Twins are back in college basketball after spending a year away. They're back at Miami, where they started. They are one of the first of the NIL big deals out there. And I'm sure they're going to continue to cash in with that. Free agency with no salary cap. That's what it is right now, 98.43. Absolutely correct on that. All right. The latest as far as the transfer portal is concerned. We're going to take a break, come back. A final Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you when we come back here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential. But finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And we will get to a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you. First, let's go to the phones. Dave wants to talk a little bit about NIL quickly here on a Thursday. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, in my opinion, with the whole NIL thing and the way it's getting crazy, I think at some point they're going to have to establish some kind of draft coming out of high school. Sounds crazy, and there'd be a lot of stuff to have to take into account, you know, where people are from or whatever, but they're almost going to have to come up with some kind of boundaries that way, just like they do in pro sports, since you're dealing with the same thing.
Hmm. Something's got to be done. Maybe that's one of the ideas to take a look at. I don't know.
Interesting concept, Dave. And then you would have, a salary structure for that draft. The number one overall pick gets this, and right on down the line.
Yeah,
it'd get right deep. I know, but there's got to be boundaries somewhere.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Yep. Have a great day.
You
Bye.
Too. 319-366-1600. Mark, time for a final wrap-up of the bowling season. Bowling Night in America wrap-up brought to you by Mays City Bowl. And a big thanks to Tom Churchka, everybody, his entire staff over there on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are just great hosts. And not just saying that because it was a banner night last night for the Rusty Nails.
It was. The Rusty Nails are the Evergreen League champions, defeating Pro Bowling Concepts 24-8 last night, or 24-6 last night, winning all three games 8-2. And it's not quite as easy as that may seem, but this is an overall championship for the Nails, the second one in team history. 2012, 2013, the other time. Some of the guys have been members of both teams, myself, Rusty Swires, Corey Starry, among others, have since stepped away. And Scott, you didn't join until we needed somebody the next year, right?
Yeah, the first one that we've had that I've been a part of. So, yeah, it was a great night. The boys bowled well. Bobby and I watched.
Picture, team picture on Facebook out there posted by Jeff Bruner, but congratulations, boys, and time to gear up for next year. Concluding a terrific last night, Ryan Bundy with a perfect game, 300 and an 8-12 series, by far the top series in the league last night. Tanner Bennett right behind with a 299.
And so long to the boys from Union Station. They are decided not to be back. Great guys, and you will be missed. They're going to continue bowling, but in a different league. So we tip our caps to them and wish them well. And we will have another season for you coming up next year. If you want to call about open bowling or summer leagues, Mark, give out the number.
Number is 362-0136, and you can always visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
And if we get rings, we will not lose them in Skyline Chili like Jason Kelce did.
I doubt that would happen. You might lose it elsewhere, but not in that way.
Not in chili vats. I don't read about it. It is crazy for Jason Kelce. All right, Scott Docterman joins us coming up tomorrow. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity,